Hey, yo, say hello to the band, Scott Hall.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
Hi, this is Booker T, the five-time WCW champion. And you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, DDP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. Stay tuned or you will feel.
Hey, you listen on the SNS Network, and that's the bottom line. The Stone Cold Set Show.
The world is listening.
Welcome to SNS Sticks and Kicks, your one-stop shop for all the 2014 FIFA World Cup action. And here is your host, the man himself, Mr. Ashley Richardson.
We're here at day 12 of Sticks and Kicks, and it's, well, I don't know what to call this. It's sort of sad to see some of the teams go, but also well-deserving for others, to be honest. We'll get into it. I'm trying to do these in as much order as I can do. Basically, in terms of significance, I think we'll go on. So, we'll start with the one with least significance from the first set of matches, Spain versus Australia. Both teams were out. It didn't really matter who won. It was basically just for pride. And it was Spain sort of, I don't know. Spain got the win, admittedly, but it wasn't a typical Spanish performance because for most of the first half, they basically were still doing misplaced passes. The defence was not looking very strong and there wasn't really any sort of, impetus for the strikers to actually connect. But it all changed in the, I think it was the 36th minute, somewhere around there, when it was a very good performance from David Villa. He did a nice little finish to, sort of say his farewells, I guess. Because it was revealed earlier on in the week that it was going to be Villa's last match. Yeah, it was Andres Iniesta that passed to Juan Fran down on the right wing. And Juan Fran then squared it into Villa and put it past Matt Ryan, the Aussie keeper. So yeah, it's his 9th goal in World Cups, his 59th in international matches, in his 97th and final game for Spain. And the really sad thing was, after only less than an hour, he got substituted, despite the fact it was his last match. apparently the coach wasn't aware, even though he'd already declared it. Okay, this coach really does need to go for Spain, Del Bosque. He's just, oh my word. After halftime, they started to look like the team of old Spain. Quite a few of the, I think the majority of the Australian players were sort of relatively inexperienced. I believe the stats I've got here, 8 of the 11 were 26 and under, and they were just too exhausted with Spain's tiki-taka style of football, style of soccer, whatever. And then in the 69th minute, they doubled the lead. Iniesta provided another ball again that caught the defence off guard, and Fernando Torres side-putted it in. His first goal in any World Cup competition since Germany 2006. So when they won it 4 years ago, he didn't score a goal. And also, that stat means that that was his first shot on target of this entire tournament, despite having played 123 minutes when he scored the goal. I don't know. The final goal for Spain came from Fabregas, Cesc Fabregas, who recently signed for Chelsea Football Club. Put in a lovely ball to Juan Mata and really toe-poked the ball. Toe-poked to the ball in and, yeah. It was Villa, you could see when he did get subbed, he was completely desolate from what happened. But it probably was, due to the performance and everything, a deserved win for Spain. But it's a shame to see Australia, because there was a lot of gut and there was a lot of gumption there from them. I made it pretty well. In terms of possession, though, and shots and all that stats stuff, it's probably important to say that Australia had no shots on target at all. Spain had 4. And, of course, they scored 3. So that probably tells you a lot about their performance. The man of the match for that one, though, just to let you know, was Villa. And probably rightfully so. Actually, I was going to go over the attendance, but I need to make some corrections on that, which I'll do at the end. So, Holland versus Chile. I said it'd be probably the most interesting one. And it was. The first half was very even. No, nobody scored any goals, but you could kind of tell that both teams weren't at full strength because Netherlands lost Van Persie due to suspension, due to yellow cards acquired over the first two matches. And Chile rested their key playmaker, the midfielder Arturo Vidal. And there were certainly opportunities for Alexis Sanchez, for Chile, and Arjen Robben. But neither of their attempts really tested the goalkeepers. They weren't really called into action. And to be honest, quite a lot of the first half was just each team giving away fouls. I mean, just having a quick look at the stats, there was 25 fouls given away by the Dutch and 14 by Chile. So I don't know whether 39 fouls is a record for a match at this tournament. I'm not sure, but we'll see. If I can be bothered to check the other 63 matches by the time we get to the end of the tournament. Probably won't be, but it was not until sort of midway through the second half about 20 minutes in, so about the 65-minute mark, that Alexis Sanchez went for a pretty nice shot, which forced the keeper, Jasper Kalesen, to do a good save. Then that sort of, I guess, spurred on the Dutch a lot more, because Robin had a very good shot which went straight to the Chilean goalkeeper, Claudio Bravo. There was also a good save from Depay. Hang on, can't get his name. Where's Depay? I've got to get these people. Memphis Depay, who was a substitute. So substitute came off the bench there. Another good save made by Bravo, the keeper there. But it then went for a corner from that. And the ball went to Dao Yanmat and did a really deep cross, really deep into the box. And Leroy Fair managed to connect onto it and score the first goal practically only, I don't know, about a minute or so after he came on. And from then on, Chile really needed to, if they wanted to finish top of the group, they realistically had to, you know, they had to win no matter what. And they did push forward, but it, you could clearly see they weren't being able to. And then just to, I guess it isn't really add insult to injury, but right in the end, Memphis Depay scored on a breakaway shot because all the Chilean players were up trying to get the equaliser, and then the obviously the winning goal if an equaliser had been scored. Robin did a very good pass to let the ball fall to Depay. So, yeah, stats quite say a lot again here. In the possession was heavily Chile's, 68-32. But Chile only had one shot on target out of their eight, compared to the four on target for the Netherlands of out of their 13. And it practically was the last kick of the game for Depay, scoring that goal. So that means Netherlands are top of the group. Chile will be in second. Who will they play? Well, we'll get to that now. So the first one that I want to cover here is probably the one that was on paper the most obvious, which is Cameroon versus Brazil. Because from their performance previously, it sort of was look liking that really it was on paper Brazil should win it. And I wouldn't say Brazil comfortable. Well, the four-line scoreline flatters them a little bit, but I also wouldn't immediately say that it flatters them. Because, well, we'll get into it. Basically, this was once again another big match for the guy that's got the world's shoulders, or the world on his shoulders, should I say, and seems to be loving it, in Neymar. Who, throughout the first couple of matches, he's really been the guy that's had the pressure put on him, but also the guy that's managed to live up to that pressure. And in all honesty, he really did impressively, I will say. They immediately went for... he immediately started going for the attempt to get early goals, and there was an opportunity. Paulinho had a shot blocked after Neymar played in Hulk to cross, but by doing that, it left Brazil weak at the back. Cameroon had a chance, but Vincent's Aboubakar's shot was blocked off the line by Marcelo, and David Luiz cleared a shot from Eric Choupo-Moting. But despite that, and there was, it was sort of a bit of, I don't know, Neymar got shoved off the ball heavily by Alan Neom, and I guess after that, Neymar went, all right, gloves are off now, or something. Because straight from there, or soon from there anyway, Luis Gustavo on the left wing got possession, crossed into Neymar, and then just a first-time finish with his side of his foot, went past the Tanjay, the Cameroonian keeper, and 1-0. And that does mean that that is apparently the 100th goal of a competition. And certainly there was an opportunity as well for him to do it again a few minutes afterwards. But a good save from the Cameroonian keeper there. But as if to reflect that it wasn't a great performance from Brazil, soon after they actually, well, I don't know if they, I guess the technical term would be screwed up. Because Neon beat Dani Alves, squared it in for Joel Matip to knock it in. Basically, it was basically the Brazilian defence not performing at all, really. Which Luis Felipe Scolari, the Brazilian coach, or the coach of Brazil, should I say, because he isn't Brazilian himself, I think. Hang on, let me just check. Oh, he is. It's just, he sounds like he's got a Spanish name. He wanted everybody, you know, he wanted them to suddenly wake up, and thankfully they did, because Marcelo did a nice little ball in to that man Neymar again. Got the goalkeeper in a whole lot of trouble, and Neymar scored his second and takes the lead now for the Golden Boot in terms of goals scored at this tournament with 4. And then there was a nice team effort here. Neymar combining with Paulinho and Oscar to set up Hulk for what was a perfect opportunity, and Hulk, I think, just scuffed the ball and just really did badly. So, half time, 2-1, should I say. And, yeah, it was really a case that half time substitutions were made. Paulinho got took off, and Fernandinho got put on. Quite a lot of people, including the Brazilian fans, wanted Fernandinho to play. And as soon as he came on, within a few minutes of the half starting, he did a great ball to Hulk. And then managed to... Henry Bedimo did a brilliant tackle from that, the Cameroonian, but the ball made its way to David Luiz's feet, and then managed to cross it into Fred, and Fred actually scores a goal. The guy that's been really not performing well with this competition actually did something. However, that something that he did could be up in the air, because replays sort of hint that it was offside. So he might have been lucky there, to be honest. But certainly the fact that the goal stands, that will boost his confidence for the last 16 matches. And then really late on, with a few minutes to go, Fernandinho did a really good shot that went past the keeper, and rightfully so, Brazil go through, you know, Brazil win and go on to play Chile. Apparently the coach now isn't happy, Scolari, because he's like, if I wanted to pick anybody out of that group to play, the only one I wouldn't have said was Chile. So I don't know if that's mind games or whether that's the truth. But yeah, so that meant that it pretty much came down to the other match. Croatia had to win in order to stand a chance of staying in the competition. Mexico only had to draw, but obviously a win. It depended on what happened with Brazil, but a good win for Mexico could have actually put them above Brazil in terms of goal difference, and they'd have actually gone first in the table. I can tell you that didn't happen, because, Mexico did well. Well, sort of, it's hard to say that, because I don't know, it was, it seemed like really early on that basically there was a lot of chances either side. But yeah, it was, Mexico were pushing quite, well, no, actually it was Mandzukic. If I can get it right and not sound drunk, that's all right. Mandzukic. He had a great chance, which Aguilar, the Mexican defender, just about managed to head and deflect out for, I think it went for a corner, which nothing came from, but there was certainly a great opportunity there. Pretty much from straight on from that, Mexico had some chances. Herrera was denied when the shot came off the crossbar. And then Peralta also had a good opportunity, but shot wide, mistimed his shot. But pretty much as soon as the match really started getting underway, Croatia were getting contained a heck of a lot and not being given very many chances. One of the few opportunities that they did get had Perisic getting, basically knocking the ball down as it was passed to him, and shot it wide, and Mexico seemed to be able to deal with it quite a lot, to be honest. And the second half sort of reflected that it was still even, but Mexico were having a lot more of the chances, and they had there was possibly a penalty claim. Serna, let me see if I can get his proper name. Dario Serna, he blocked the ball with his hands after a shot from Guardado. Andres Guardado, and it was sort of harsh because in the way it was done, it was sort of he did it in defense. He didn't purposefully do it. But Mexico, straight on from just, you know, within about a minute of that, it was a nice corner. I think it was from Herrera, I'm not sure, but it was a very good shot from Rafael Marquez, the centre-back, who headed it in. Nice header. Nice, powerful header. That's the kind of header that you do want to have, make the keeper stand no chance of getting it. Also, within, what, a few minutes of that? Yeah. Well, yeah, within a few minutes of that, it was a nice goal from... Well, it was from Andres Guardado as Peralta fired a shot. Well, he basically passed it to Guardado. Guardado got his shot right in the top of the net, you know, right by the peanut butter and the bread basket, as they'd say in ice hockey terms. Yeah, it was overall, I'd say, very good performance. And then within about 5 minutes of that, I'd say, Javier Hernandez managed to latch on from a Marquez flick on and just headed it down. Headed it into the goal, should I say, and made it 3-0. And that, you know, that's three goals in the space of 10 minutes. And it was that sort of did everything for them. Perisic did get a consolation goal for Croatia. But then, as if it couldn't get any worse, Ante Rebic, who had only come on as a substitute 20 minutes before he got sent off, he did a very, very dodgy tackle on Carlos Pena and had to be sent off. Yeah, it was straight red. It wasn't even like two yellows. It was just, yeah, you're gone. So I'm guessing he'll now probably have to do that suspension in the next competitive international match that will be coming up when the European qualifiers happen. But Mexico win, only at second, so it will be Mexico versus the Netherlands on Saturday, I think. Is it? No, Sunday. I take it back. I need to look at my notes, and I got it wrong, which is always nice. So that means we say farewell to, officially now, to Spain, Australia, Croatia, and Cameroon. Another four must go. Well, I should say three, because we already know England are gone tomorrow. England play Costa Rica in what is the opportunity for England to basically not win a match. Because on the form that they've shown, I wouldn't be surprised. Italy-Uruguay. It's a winner-takes-all, really, there. Apart from for Italy, because actually, if they get a draw, they'll go through on goal difference. In the other match, Colombia, Japan, and Ivory Coast and Greece. I'd probably say it's harsh, because Italy-Uruguay will probably be a good match. But in terms of the competitiveness, I'd say Colombia, Japan, and Ivory Coast, Greece is going to be the more entertaining like matches to flick through, because we've got another match here where arguably Japan I wouldn't say Japan could get the win over Colombia, but there's certainly opportunity there, because obviously, if Japan did get an upset victory, I think it would get complicated, because if Ivory Coast drew and Japan won only by one goal, the goal difference would be exactly the same, so we might even get down to drawing lots. So it's going to be like a bloody bingo thing. Let's make bingo happen. but it probably won't. Certainly on the form that they've probably shown, I'd say Colombia will probably win. Other one, I'd have thought Ivory Coast would do well, but, and this is something I forgot to mention in previous days' news and everything, Yaya and Kolo Touré lost their brother, Ibrahim, last week at the age of only 28. Said to be of some form of cancer. There hasn't been, obviously, any proper details released, because I guess when they're finished in the competition, whenever that may be, the Touré brothers will be flying straight back to pay their respects and everything, because obviously when something like a World Cup happens, it's a little bit complicated in order to do that. But yes, some good matches coming up for day 13. It's unlucky for some, especially England, because they're already out. Este samba que é misto de maracatu, é samba de preto veio, samba de preto tu. Mas que nada, um samba como